We're on page 904, Perek Lamed Aleph, we're on Pasuk Tes. The last time we learned, we're going back to Pasuk, we didn't get to Tes. Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Zion, page 904. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to take revenge for Midian. We explained about the clip of Midian, how bad it is, and then you're going to die. The Jews who were hesitant to go, Moshe Rabbeinu had to force them to go to battle. And Moshe Rabbeinu sent them in Pinchas ben Elazar, and he went with the Klei HaKodesh, meaning the tzitz and the order, and he went with all those things. Okay, Pasuk Zion. Vayizbu'u al-Midyon, they massed against Midyon, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. Vayargu kol zachor, they killed all the male. They killed all the men from Midyon, they killed. But, not only that, v'smalchim Midyon hargu achalaleyem, they killed the kings of Midyon, along together with the dead bodies of the other people they killed. Who were the five? Evi, Rekem, Tzur, Chur, Reva, Chameshes Malchim Midyon, the five kings of Midyon, Veiz Bilam ben Ba'ad, and even Bilam, Hargu Bechorev, they killed with the sword. Okay? And we're discussing, we didn't get into this last time, that some opinions say that Bilam had Kishef. Bilam was black magic, witchcraft. Mm. And he was flying. So one opinion says in the Medrash that Pinchas put the tzitz in his direction, and the witchcraft failed, and he fell down and he died. And then they killed him with a sword. Another opinion says that with the tzitz, Pinchas started also flying in the air. And he's catching up to Bilam. It was like Superman. Yeah. Batman and Superman. Yeah. They come in the air, and then he wanted to kill him, and Bilam said, no, what would he want from me? I'm such a nice guy, I'm going to praise the Jews from now on. Let me do tshuva. Pinchas didn't know what to do. He brought him to Moshe Rabbeinu, according to one opinion. Moshe Rabbeinu says, kill him, and they killed him. Bechadav with a sword. Why is it emphasizing here with the sword? Yes. Because there was Kol Yaakov and Yadayim de Yasef. So Bilam changed. Instead of using the sword, he went with his mouth. So the Jews killed him with the sword, which is the guy. The Jews go with Kol Yaakov, and the Goyim go with Yadayim and Esav, right? What was Esav was told? You're gonna live by the sword. So just like Bilam changed his mode and started blessing the Jews, or he wanted to curse the Jews. So Hashem said, you know what? You wanted to do our job, so we're going to kill you with your thing, with your sword. But Rashi asks over here, and not only Rashi, other Mefarshim asks too. When the Pasuk says, the five kings of Midyan, the Pasuk says, Evi, Rekem, Tzur, Chur, Reva, Chameshes, Malachim, Midyan, the five kings of Midyan. I mean, we are able to count to five. If the Torah didn't say five kings, we know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's five kings. Why does the Pasuk have to say five? So Rashi says that to teach us that all of them were in the same idea of destroying the Jewish people. They were all in this advice to go destroy the Jewish people. Other Mefarshim learn there's more than that.
Well, that's obvious. Huh? They killed them all, so it means that they were against the Jews.
No, but no, it's maybe
what
just
Rashi
the,
is saying, but he doesn't say anything extra.
Rashi is saying that the five people were actually part of it in the Eitzah of bringing Bilam down to destroy the Jewish people. So that, and that's why the Torah right away says Bilam ben Ba'ur. So once you show all five were equal. The Aruch Chaim adds to this, why does it have to say five? We know it's five. He said to teach us that they were killed one with the next, and each one of the kings saw the way the other one was getting killed. So he wants to emphasize the mapola, the downfall that they had, that this was all five together. That's why it says five, even though we would obviously know it's five.
They are not Midianim. Only one of them is Midianim. There's five kings. They are not all of them Midianim.
All of them, Chameshes Malchim Midian.
All of them.
They're all kings of Midian. All these kings. There are different provinces. You know, there was one king, five kings. They had five kings in the Pearl. Okay.
Related.
Yeah. Yeah. Vayishbu b'nei Yisrael. Okay, pasuk test. Vayishbu b'nei Yisrael. The Jews took captive the women of Midian, as in shame Midian, the women of Midian, vaskapam, and the babies. Vaskol behemtam, vaskol mikneam, all their cattle and all their wealth. They took as spoils, in other words, to collect it. But we're going to see if you learn a few psukim and discuss it. The Eis Kol Areyam B'Meshreisam, and all their cities where they lived, Eis Kol Tireisam, all their palaces, Sarfu Be'esh, the Jews burnt with fire. They actually destroyed everything.
Nothing left from the Midianim. All of them they cut off.
No, we'll see, except the women and the kids they left alive. It said they killed Kol Zachar, all the male, and then they left the women and the kids. Now it says, "Vayichlo es kol ha'sholo ves kol ha'malkeach." They took all the booty and all the captives of the people and the animals. Vayaviu al Meishav al Elazar. This you see the greatness of the Jews in a second. They brought it to Meishav al Elazar Akein. Vel kol ha'daz b'nei Yisrael into the whole Jewish community. Es ha'shvi the captives, es ha'malkeach. The captives and the animals, that's a sholol and the booty al machna to the camp. What does it mean? The pasuk is first saying they captured a lot of stuff. So the pasuk says like this: they killed the men, the kings, all the men, all the women they left alive, and all the kids, and all the spoils. What does it say? They brought them all to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi says, this itself shows the greatness of the Jews. Nobody plundered, nobody took on their own. They just took everything back to Moshe Rabbeinu. What should we do with it? Normally in war, you kill, so you steal things, you take it, you keep it. Here, it tells us the greatness, the Jews didn't keep a thing. Wow. They brought it all to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi, Magid, show you kshedim v'tzadikim. And they weren't cheshed to steal, they weren't accused of stealing, without permission.
So, when they're talking about children, to what age does that typically refer?
Children, normally, as a rule, is under bar mitzvah.
Even for going.
In this concept, yes.
Okay, thank you.
We learned already in the past, there's a big argument in halacha. What age does a guy become bar mitzvah? What age does a guy have? No, because a guy has seven mitzvahs, right? If they transgress one of the seven mitzvahs, they get killed.
We get it from Shmuel, not 13.
No, so it depends where we learn out the age of bar mitzvah. Pirkei Avos says ben shlesh esrei lemitzvahs. The Mishnah says, right? So Rashi and Tosfos Harosh, they bring down two sources for this. From where do we know 13 years old is bar mitzvah? From where? Where is it saying the Chumash 13-year-old to Bar Mitzvah? There's two sources. There's two sources. The Pasuk and the Rishonim bring down. Rashi brings down two. Tosfos Harosh brings down the same two. One source is because after Shechem, you know, raped Dinah, and then they told him to do a bris. So it says, Vayichu Shnei B'nei Yaakov, the two sons of Yaakov, Shimon V'Levi, Achei Dinah, the brothers of Dinah, took Ish Charbei. Each man took his sword. How old was Levi at that time? If you make up a simple cheshbon, Levi was 13. Levi was 13, and the Torah calls him Ish. So from there, one of the sources, from there, because Levi was 13, and the Torah calls him Ish, and when the Torah speaks about the obligation of mitzvahs, the Torah uses Ish, Ish, Mibnei Yisrael. So from there, they learn out that bar mitzvah is 13. Another source of Bar Mitzvah 13 is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Hashem said to Moshe, there's no source in Chumash. Hashem told Moshe, Beinot Har Sinai, Bar Mitzvah is 13. Okay, this is what the two reasons the Rishonim make. So what's the halachic difference between the two opinions? There's a halachic difference. So the Achreinim write, the difference is, when does a guy become bar mitzvah? Meaning, if you learn it out, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that was only given to Jews. Because all the shiurim amounts were given to Jews. If you learn it out, because Levi was 13, physically, 13, and the Torah calls him a man, that means physically, a boy is 13, you become a man. Right? Based on that, a guy is bar mitzvah at the age of 13. If you hold halacha l'moshe m'sinai, so the din is, when is a guy responsible to do their commandments? There's no amount, based on the maturity of the child. As soon as the child understands he can't steal, he's bar mitzvah for stealing. As soon as he's old enough, so then each kid is their own age when they become bar mitzvah. So, but here though, normally, by the way, it's interesting, Taf doesn't say kids, doesn't say Yelodim. Taf is babies, toddlers. So it's not even the age of bar mitzvah. It said they killed all the male except the women and the Taf.
Both, it happened in the Sinai. Both this situation, it happened in the Sinai. Why they, one of them accepted, one of them not accepted?
No, the question, what's the source of it? That's all. Daskim Malates, I mean, Targum Yenison Ben Azil brings down over here like this. When he brings down another medrash, Targum Yenison Ben Azil, no, he was the, Targum Yenison Ben Azil was a student of Hillel. He was from the earliest Tanoim.
After
it was before Unklus.
No, what year was it?
Yenis and Menozil?
Yeah.
Oklis was in the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Kiva's time.
400.
I don't know, 400, 500.
400?
All I know is that Hillel had 80 students. The greatest of them was Yenis and Menozil, and the lowest, the youngest, was Yabrichim Ben Zakkai. The Gemara says in Sukkah. Yeah? Oklis lived after Churban Beis Hamikdash. No. So Hillel, the Gemara says Hillel lived 100 years before the Churban Beis Sheni. So Yonis and Mazil Fisher was first. Anyway, he says like this, that when Pinchas was chasing Bilam, Bilam made with witchcraft went up in the air. So Pinchas said, Shmei Rabba, the name of Hashem, he flew up after him. And he cut him off with a sword, and Pinchas started asking, so what did he tell him? Amalei Pinchas said to Bilam like this, you are Lavan or Arami? You are Lavan. Remember we learned at the beginning of Pashas Bilam that one of the Medrash says Bilam and Lavan were the same guy. And you wanted to destroy Yaakov. And because of you, he went down to Mitzrayim. And you wanted all, he said, I should save you? I'm not going to save you. I'm going to kill you. So he killed him. But there was actually a dialogue going on between Pinchas and Bilam, even Cordianus and Menazil, of what should be done.
Pinchas killed Bilam?
As it says, Pinchas killed him. Okay. Okay, so now what happens like this. They come and they bring all the stuff to Moshe Rabbeinu, all the captives, all the, can you imagine, it's going to be a lot, we're going to assume numbers. Vayetze Meisha v'Elozer Akeim v'chol Nisiyei Eidol L'Krosom Meisha, Elozer, don't forget Aaron passed away already. Meisha, Elozer, Akeim, all the heads of the tribes went out Michutz L'machane to outside the camp. Okay, they went to meet them. Why did they go meet them? Well, we'll soon see in a second. Vayetzef Meisha Apukude Achoyul. Meisha Rabbeinu got angry, and this phenomenal passage, by the way. Meisha got angry at the officers. Who are the officers? Sari Alafim, the guys in charge of the thousands, not the guys in charge of the hundreds, that came back from the Mulchama. Now, all the soldiers made a mistake over here, we'll soon see. Who did Meisha Rabbeinu scream at? The leaders. Vayayim, again, I want to learn a few psukim, then we'll explain it. Vayayim aleh Meisha said to them, Achiyisim kol nekeva? You let all the females live? Hayin heina ha yulev ne yisal bedvar Bilam. They were, what happened after Bilam? The end of Parshas Pinchas. At the end of Parshas Balak. They got the women to entice the men, and because of that there was this epidemic of 24,000 Jews. So Meisha Rabbeinu screams at the officers, I don't understand you. These women were the ones that sinned. In fact, the Medrash says, Hein Heina, Heina means here, this one. All the men know which women sinned with whom. They say, you're the one that sinned with this guy, that guy. He says, you were the part of Limsa Mal Bashem, Al Dvar Pa'el, to cause betrayal against Hashem. But he amagay for badas Hashem, and there was this epidemic. 24,000 people died because of the women. So he said, "Are you guys crazy? You bring back the women that were cause of the whole problem." Yeah. So what happens is like this. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu? What happened? What was that? What happened? From here we learn out a very interesting halacha. That if a community sins, guilty are the leaders. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't scream at anybody else but the leaders. In fact, they asked the question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu scream at Pinchas? Pinchas led the Jewish people to war. Why didn't he scream at Pinchas? So there's two answers.
Well, he said the leader.
Yeah, no, it says...
he did not mention the name.
He said, no, he just said, Sari Alofim, Sari Ameis. Pinchas was not one of the Sari Ameis, Sari Alofim. Pinchas was in charge. So he says, number one, because he was the greatest. Okay, even though he was the greatest. Some people say, because Pinchas had nothing to do with the spoils. Pinchas went with the Klei HaKodesh, he went with the Aron, he went with the Tzitz. He wasn't involved in the collecting of the women, not. He did his thing. He killed the kings. He killed Bilam. But he wasn't involved directly in the captivity. So Moshe Rabbeinu can't scream at him. Pinchas didn't do anything wrong. He didn't bring back the women. He didn't do anything. But Moshe Rabbeinu screamed at all the... Why? Because the bottom line is, as the Pasuk says, when there is the leaders... In fact, there's a Pasuk, Vasimim Berashechem. Vasimim Barashechem means literally, I'll put them in your heads, as your heads. But it says, Vasimim, when the community sins, who is to blame? Rashechem, the leaders.
RCC.
Shop.
Rabbi Subak, story about a company from here to there, that the rabbi should
have formed. Kamse.
What was the blame of Kamsa by Kamsa? The rabbi is sitting here, nobody did anything.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you learned this out from over here. What's the biblical source of blaming the leaders? Besides the positive Asimim Berashechem, that is a medrash, the Osham Berashechem. Asimim over there is Sima, I will place them. But the medrash says, Vashimim, from the word Osham. But here clearly you see that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the leaders. Why? Because they're responsible for the guidance of the community. If they don't teach the community, they're to blame. That's what the Torah is teaching us over here. Now, so now Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell them, okay, go kill all the women now. Okay, but that's number one. Now, and that's, the question is like this. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu get angry at them if Hashem didn't tell him to kill the women? Normally when you go to war, okay, who do you kill? You don't kill innocent civilians, yes. Don't kill the women and the kids. You kill the soldiers.
It depends.
No, normally, normal people.
Normal
wars, people killed... If people killed a soldier, you wouldn't. If you killed civilians, they hold you liable for killing innocent people. Yeah? So we don't find, like, by Amalek, you know, Shaul HaMelech over there with Shmuel, the whole story. Over there, he told him, kill everybody. Here, The Mefarshim asked, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell Pinchas and the soldiers to kill everybody. They said, So why is he screaming at them that they kept the women? How were they supposed to know to kill the women? He never told them. So the Mefarshim explained, because Moshe Rabbeinu over here said a different expression. He said, Nekem Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, take revenge for what the Midyanim did to the Jews. What did the Midyanim do to the Jews? They got the women to sin with the men. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said, take revenge, they should have understood that anybody that was involved in getting the Jews to sin, those are the ones you have to kill. This wasn't a regular battle. By Amalek it says, say he lochim by Amalek. Go fight Amalek. Amalek, you're a war, you kill the men. Here, the pasuk says, take revenge against Midian. And because revenge, then everybody's part of it.
The woman was soldier. You know, they do obey from the leader.
No, not the women.
Why not? Because they send them to the... They send them to camp and they do make a scene. They are not responsible. They send them. They're not going by themselves.
The pasuk says, if an axe kills a person, Pashas Mishpatim, if an axe kills a person, says, it's a behema taregu. You kill the animal. Why do you kill an animal? Animal's free choice. An animal's free choice.
But if the animal is different with the human being.
1 minute. If an axe, God forbid, kills a person, does the animal have free choice? No. People have free choice. Animals don't have free choice.
So
why do you kill an animal that kills a person if the animal didn't do anything wrong? Do something wrong is, I have the ability to do right or wrong, I have the choice to do good or bad, and I choose bad over good. If you don't have choice, you can't punish.
If you're a soldier,
I'm saying the women, even though maybe they were sent to the sin, but nevertheless, the fact that sins came about through the women, they were supposed to be killed. Just like an animal that was killed because. Mm-hmm. You know, when a baby does, when a baby breaks something, a baby, you don't, what do you want to do with the baby? So. You can't even make him pay. Uh-huh. Why? Because he's not liable, he's not responsible for what they do. They don't know what they're doing. But when something bad comes about, even through an animal, the Torah says he killed the animal. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, you guys should have understood yourself that you should have killed the people. Because they did a terrible, because of the women, there are terrible sins going on. Okay, and he says, they were part of it, like you said, they were able to point at each one. Okay, so now he says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, here go Kolzoch Batov, you should kill all the male, even amongst the babies, even the ones in the crib. But V'chol Isha Yadas Ish, and any woman that fit to be with a man, Haregu kill. So Rash, the Mefarshim explain, how did they know this? Okay? Sounds like this. Huh? No, how did they know which woman was fit to be with a man or not? So they brought them all in front of the tzitz, and whoever was fit to be with a man, her face turned green, and they knew to kill her. It was like
no age. In it,
no. Any woman that was shaykh to be with a man. And he says,
if the woman didn't do nothing,
and
she had to.
It doesn't matter. The fact that she was part of it. The fact that she could have been part of it.
Why the tough?
Huh? Why? No, he says, but any, because
why
the babies were going to become adults.
They remember.
Why
what?
Again? They already did it.
No, he's differentiating now between the taf of the. No, they didn't kill the taf.
Before they did it?
No, kol zocher b'taf. No, they left the taf alive, the women and babies. So now Moshe Rabbeinu said, all the male babies killed. For all the tav banoshim, asher lo yodu mishkavzoch, those can stay alive. In other words, the babies could stay alive. What? The Pashas from the age of 3.
Why they leave him alone? Because in Torah they say he shouldn't marry with Midianim.
Right.
So why they leave him alone? Small one.
No, because they were not at all involved. A woman that was too young to be with a man couldn't have been sinning with the men.
So if very small girls, 2 years, 1 year.
2 years old, they didn't kill.
So it's still Midianim. It's not the Midianim?
They did, but they didn't. That's what Hashem says, don't kill. Any woman that was of age to be with the man, those have to be killed. Baby women, baby girls, those weren't killed.
But in Torah, they mentioned Israel should marry with Midianim.
Right.
Yeah, so if 2 years is not Midianim?
2 years is not Shaykh to marry.
So,
so therefore Hashem said, don't kill him because they weren't, that didn't have anything to do with it. The male,
okay.
Was, everybody was, okay. Is guilty. Okay. Then he says like this: V'atem chanu michutz l'machane shivas yamin. You guys have to live outside the camp 7 days. Who? Kol hareg nefesh. Anybody that killed a soul. V'chol negeh v'cholol. Whoever touched the corpse of a body. Tischatu have to do the par aduma. You know, b'yom hashlishi b'yom hashvi. Atem ushvichem. You and the ones that the captives, because the captives also became tamei. So anybody that became tamei, touching a dead body, and Rashi goes into this: if they killed them with something that was mekabel tuma, okay, and if you touch a sword to a dead body, even though you're not touching the dead body, it's like you touch the dead body itself.
What's that? Pinchas was a coin. How come he isn't dead? Situation.
How come he was able to kill them?
To be killed and also be in the.
First of all, who said? Well,
Pinchas was a kid. Is a Kohen.
Yeah, so, but Hashem told him to do it.
Huh?
Hashem told him to do it. Well, if you kill them with the tzitz, it's not a problem. You kill them long distance. Because the din is like this. Let me explain the din. Everybody says the dead body of a goy is impure. Everybody holds that. Okay, if you touch the body of a dead
body?
Goy, your tummy, 7 days, you have to go, like here.
Yeah.
7 days, part of Duma, third and seventh,
you
mamish. Yeah, all Jewish holds, I'm saying even a goy. Okay. But there's a difference between, in halacha, in the Mishnah, it's a machoik, between Rav Shimon ben Yochai and the Chachamim, but the Rambam, Shechonoch, and the Rambam, everybody passes like Rav Shimon ben Yochai. What about what's called oyel alames, a tent over a dead? For instance, if somebody is in the same room, God forbid, with a dead body.
Close.
No, in the same room. The room could be a mile long. But if it's the same roof, and you're under the same roof with a dead body, you are tummy.
If the
but that only
open,
applies to a Jew.
If the side is open also?
Even if the sides are open. Okay. But that only applies, la halacha, only to a Jew, not to a guy. Because the Torah says, Adam, ki yamuz ba'ayol, if a man will die in a tent, anything in the tent is tamei. And the Gemara says, Atem kruyim Adam, only Jews are called Adam, so it doesn't apply by a guy. Okay? That's why it says over here in the Pasuk, whoever touched, chol negeh b'cholol, okay? Kol horeg nefesh v'chol negeh b'cholol, if he killed them, directly, now, it could be Pinchas didn't kill anybody with his hands. Bilam, maybe also, it says, Hargu Becharev. The question, did Pinchas kill him? Or the Jew? It doesn't say Harag, it says Hargu, they killed. So it could be the sword actually, the Jews did not Pinchas. That's number one. But otherwise, but Pashtus, Pinchas did not come in contact with any Tumah directly. That's why, you know, if there's a, God forbid, you know, a funeral goes outside shuls and yeshivas and all that, yeah? The koyanim can be under a tree, even under a tree that goes over the dead body. If there's a tree, I'd say outside a Jewish cemetery, yeah? You have a tree by the fence, yeah? and part of the branches go over the graves, and part of the branches go over the street, a Kohen is not allowed to walk under that tree, even outside the cemetery.
The tree is mechuba.
So it's still oil. No. Oil is here. When it's mechuba. Sure.
Right, the covering is the same. It's not,
so what? It's still oil. A house is also mechuba.
No, I mean, but it's a plant. I mean,
you mean it's a plant?
You build an ohel. Ohel is man-made.
No, now who said? Kola shabael yitma. An oil carries tuma. Okay? And if somebody, by the way, forget koyanim, not today, it only applies to koyanim, but in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if you walked under a tree that went over a Jewish cemetery, you had to go to the Par Aduma for a few days. 7 days. Pay your visit to the Par Aduma. No, that's the halacha. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jews, anybody that touched the body of a goy, or like Rashi says from the Gemara, that even if you stuck a sword into the dead body, metal, if you touch a dead body with metal, it's like you touch the body itself. Because metal is a big conductor of tumah. It carries the tumah in a tremendous
like
amount.
Electricity.
Huh?
Like electricity.
Yeah.
As long as it's
the electronic is moving. Huh?
No, it's that's what happens.
Plastic rubber handle.
So I had to stay outside the machne. Now some mefarshim learn, what does it mean, mechutz la machne? It means outside the azara. Some people say, I'm mamish mechutz la machne. Okay? See, Rashi learns it's outside the azara. The Ramban learns that the Hashem told him, Moshe Rabbeinu told him, completely outside the camp. We don't want you to touch any Jews that are in the camps, and then you're going to make them tummy. So you just go out for 7 days. Okay. And then he says, V'chol beged, v'chol kli erd, v'chol maisi izim, any garment, every vessel of hide or leather, anything that comes from goats, every vessel of wood, tizchato, you need to purify because they all become tummy. Okay. Everything that came from the animals are, all the kelim, again, they became tummy because they all came in contact with the dead bodies. So all those had to be purified. Okay, so the story, what happens before we go further, because it's relevant for the further, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the Jewish people. Yeah? Because of this, Rashi learns, and most of the Mefarshim learn, Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha. Whenever you get to anger, the Shekhinah leaves you. Shekhinah leaves you. You could be Moshe Rabbeinu. You forgot the halacha. And therefore, the pasuk Vayemer Elazar Akein Alanchi Atzavim. Elazar Akein said. Rashi says, "Vishabam Moshe Lechlal Kas." Because Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, he came to a mistake. He forgot the halacha of Geuli Kelim of kashering utensils. And by the way, it's interesting. The next few psukim is the source. The biblical source of kashering from treif to kosher, from all the Pesach to chametz to Pesach, all these kashering kelim is in the next few psukim. All the whole source of the whole concept of kashering kelim and how to kasher kelim, and what is able to be kashered. Okay, so Rashi says Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, he forgot the halacha. Some people say some of Farshim learn no. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it, and he gave Rishus to Elazar to explain the dinim. Now, it's not that he got angry, he forgot Allah, he said, okay, Elazar, you explain, take over. Okay? But here you see a very interesting thing. The Mefarshim point out, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, not for himself. It wasn't a personal anger. It was an anger that the people, so to speak, it was a holy anger. Think about it. It was a holy anger. You got angry for Hashem. You didn't listen to Hashem. What did you do? You kept the women alive. From here you see, and Farshim point out, any anger even if it's holy anger, is bad. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the ultimate level of Kedusha, he got angry, the Shekhinah leaves you, and then you forget, or you make a mistake, or...
That's why the Rambam says the anger never derech hatzayim, is always at the end.
Anger, you have to be ma'ed ma'ed, the Gemara says. That means just brings it down from the Gemara. That means this, when he says that normally a Jew should be middle of the path guy, don't be an extremist, accept anger and haughtiness. Gaivan? I said haughtiness. Yes. Gaivan and anger, a person needs to be an extremist. The Gemara says, anger is worshipping idols.
What's the connection of anger and
haughtiness? In fact, it says in Arizal, Dr. Rabbi Zani, Tshuva, that if you get angry, you have to fast 151 fasts. And according to one opinion, that's for every time you get angry. Not for 100 times angry, you fast 151. Get angry 10 times, it's 1,500 plus fasts. Okay? Gemara says, anger, and this is a remarkable thing, but the Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. Not even a personal anger. He got angry because the Jews didn't listen to Hashem. He came to make a mistake. What's this concept over here? Anger, the Gemara says, is Eved Aveda Zara. Kol HaKayis Kilo Eved Aveda Zara. Why is it? Very simple reason. The Rebbe has a whole Igeres HaKadosh Simin Chofei and Tanya. The Rebbe explains it at great length. But the gist of it is very simple. If a person believes that God runs the world, that means anything that happens is from Hashem. Hashem made it happen. That means, I take it on a personal level, yeah? If somebody, Dr. Rebbe doesn't use this much, but I'll use it, it's just more practical. If somebody smacks you in the face, okay? So normally the reaction is, I get angry, what do you do to me? Somebody messes you up in business, and it makes you lose money. He steals your whatever, yep. So a person has to think like this. If you believe in God, and you believe that God runs the world, and you believe that the person's existence is dependent on Hashem, if Hashem's power would leave the hand, the hand would disappear. Right? Hmm. Without elaborating, we've elaborated on this already many times. Yeshmiyayin has to be continuous creation. The power of Hashem has to constantly be in it. So let's say I come over to you and I smack you in the face. Okay? Hashem allowed me
to do that.
To smack. Because if Hashem didn't want you to be smacked, it wouldn't have happened. Correct?
So what was the
thing? Well, women. We went through this a million times already. So therefore, when I smack you in the face, bottom line, did Hashem want you to get smacked?
Yes.
So the question is, so why am I punished? Hashem should pay me for doing his dirty work of smacking you in the face. Hashem wanted you to get smacked. I had the honor of doing it. Hashem should pay me. Why is he punishing me? Hashem punishes me for hitting? Let him reward you. He should pay me. Yeah? Well, why not? There's two issues. There's that you got hit, and the second issue is that I hit. Okay? That you got hit, that's from Hashem. A given. It's nothing to do with me. The Gemara says, Hashem has many ways of doing things. So you got hit, it's because Hashem wanted you to get hit. God forbid you lost money in business, it's because Hashem wanted you to lose money in business. Why am I punished? Not because I hit you. Because I did something called hitting that Hashem said don't do. I had a choice to hit or not to hit. There's nothing to do with you getting hit. Okay? You got hit because Hashem wanted you to get hit. Okay? So if a person believes, that's why you survey the Zohar. Because if a person believes that Hashem runs the world, and everything that happens is from Hashem, and if you believe in God, then you automatically believe, whether we see it or not, that whatever God does is good. Koman. Gamzu l'teiva. Koman David Rachman l'tav David. Whatever Hashem does is good, right? Nochemish Gamzu, Rabbi Kiva. Hashem does. So therefore, if a person really believes in God and he gets hit, he should know two things. Number one, why are you angry at me? I didn't hit you. God hit you somehow through me. I was his stick.
Okay.
If I hit with your stick, you don't get angry at the stick.
Okay.
You get angry at me.
Okay.
You know, but you're not supposed to get angry at me because I'm only God's stick.
Okay.
Between me and God, I did something that I wasn't supposed to do, but there's nothing to do with you.
That's also God wants to do that.
No.
Why not? This
because
one,
good and bad, we have free choice. No.
Why you want?
Good and bad, we have bechira. I chose to do something Hashem told me not to do. You need to get hit. Hashem has many ways for you. You can bang it against the wall. You can bang into the wall if Hashem wants. So therefore he says like this. When a person gets angry, it's Aveda Zara. Kilo Eved Aveda Zara. Why is it idol worshipping? Because basically denying the existence of God. You're saying, I hit you, you shouldn't have gotten hit. You're angry that I hit you. So where's God over here making things happening? That's why it's called Kol HaKayis Kilo Eved Aveda Zara. Now, even when it comes to Kedusha, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, the Torah is saying basically Moshe Rabbeinu should have admonished the Jews without getting angry at them. Why? Because the bottom line is, obviously, the fact that they brought back the people, Hashem wanted that to be done, the women. Then he told them, kill them. But even in Kedusha, that's what I'm saying. Even in Kedusha, anger is no good. And the Torah, why does the Torah tell us? Why should the Torah teach us bad about Moshe Rabbeinu? Why should the Torah? Rashi says, because he got angry, it's from the Medrash. Because he got angry, he forgot the halacha. That's not very nice to Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, come on. We don't like to speak negative about our tzaddikim, the real ones. Yeah? The answer is because the Torah is teaching us something. That even Moshe Rabbeinu is shaykh to get angry in Kedusha, not there because somebody hit him or somebody took away his ice cream. You know what I mean? In Kedusha, he got angry because the Jews didn't listen to Hashem. But it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to be angry, you're supposed to fake and show anger that people should listen to you. But you really should, in yourself, you should be in total control.
It's impossible.
Don't say it's impossible. Torah God says it's possible.
You cannot against your emotion. You know, sometimes
it's
hard
not
to
true.
Do that. You don't get angry?
Me?
Yeah.
You're proof of me.
No. You are the.
So now it's my fault.
You
get angry, it's my fault. Because I'm the rabbi.
You are most qualified people here. Yeah.
How do you know?
Because you.
You don't know. I'm paid to be religious.
No, you are most qualified.
I'm paid to be religious.
No, you're not paid.
I'm paid.
No, you're not.
You mean it. I'm paid. Don't say that. It's wrong. I get paid to be religious.
No, you're not.
What do you mean I don't get paid? I don't get paid, maybe.
You know,
but
you
get paid to be religious.
No.
But a person has to be able to control the anger. If they realize in Seichel that, listen, this happened with Gamzu L'Teva, then a person will get angry, even in Kedusha.
How easy to say that?
Moshe Rabbeinu cannot do that. How come we can do that?
It's very easy to say in a marriage, everybody just behave. You know, people come with problems in a marriage, you say, what's the problem? Just behave. Simple. What's right about that? Yeah? You tell kids a problem, what's the problem? Just behave. What's the problem? Just do it. It's so easy, just behave. No? You know how many people, if the therapist would be out of business? If it was that simple. But the Torah teaches us, And therefore Elazar had to come in and take over to say the din. But it's interesting. What did Elazar say? And again, Elazar came to the land and said, "Boy, Melchama, Zeischuk Asateira, Ashetziv Hashem as Meisha." He emphasized again what I'm saying is what Meisha Rabbeinu taught me. In other words, he could have taken and used the advantage of the situation and make himself. Oh, you see. I know something Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. The pasuk says no. That's not what the Lazar said. The Lazar said, "Kashetiv Hashem as Moshe." This is what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, and I'm the one that has to say it. And it's called, by the way, Zeischuk Asateira, Because, No, because the whole concept of kashrus and the kashering of kelim and all that
chukah.
Is a chukah, completely a chayk. Okay, so this is what he's telling him. So he says like this. Achas azav, as a kasev, as a necheshev, as a, okay. Gold and silver, barzol the copper, bedil the iron, let's say forest and the lead, yeah? All these things, called dava sheyavei ba'esh, anything that became treif in fire, taviro ba'esh v'toher. Okay? Ach b'mei nida yischato, but it also has to come to the purifying waters of the Pada Duma. V'chola sheleyavei ba'esh, and whatever doesn't go through fire, meaning it didn't become treif with fire, Taviru b'mayim, you have to tevel in the mikveh anyway. Okay, so now there's two dinim he's teaching us. This pasuk is teaching us the laws of kashrus, koshering, and the law that everything that you buy from a guy needs to go to the mikveh. But the Torah says like this, something that became treif through fire, so you have to kasher it with fire. Became treif with water, you kasher it with water. It didn't go through fire, it didn't go through heat. It went cold, so all you have to do is table it in the mikveh. This is what the, but this is the source, because he's basically teaching them the way something becomes treif, that's the way it becomes kosher. The way it went in is the way it goes out. But here in the Mamla is he goes, but you know, there's a very interesting, there's a Daskin Balei Faces over here. It's a very interesting din, the question that he asks. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, or Elazar, tell the Jews the din now? Earlier in Chumash, there was a battle against Sichon and Og. And the Jews won the battle. And they captured the cities.
They don't do anything. They don't do anything.
Why didn't he tell them about... Why are you talking about the laws of kashering then? So Tesis answers, that's Kimba Tesis says a very simple word. He said, the war against Sichon and Og was in the field. Here it says they conquered the cities. In the field, there's no kelim to kasher. Here, they fought in the city, so they took the spoils of the cities. Then they fought in this field, so there wasn't, he says, the besada v'lahayishem klitashmishi. Here it was the mechame in Midyan v'shalul abatim, and they took the spoils from the houses. So then they needed to do that thing of kashering.
Could it be that like chronological?
In the field, there is no something.
No, the chronological it doesn't make sense over here because here he's with when he's telling it the now.
About Midian is different than other.
No, because Midian they fought in the city, so they took all the kelim. So now he speaks about the kelim. You brought home the kelim, you have to kasher it. But it's the mechum of Sichon and Og, yeah, at the end of Pasha's Balak, the Torah doesn't say that they took all the spoils and they. It says they conquered. No, long fashion. Then the chukas. Yeah. Sichon and Og. They went, Vayetzi Sichon Melech Og, Melech Bashan. They went out to meet them. Sichon and both Og went. Okay? So over there, they weren't emphasizing the concept of taking the kelim. So you didn't have to talk about kashering the kelim. Okay. Now. Okay, so he says, it just brings down some interesting points. Anything that you take from a guy, you need to kasher. Okay? Glass, the Torah doesn't talk about glass.
Yeah,
okay? So glass is the well-known Sephardic Ashkenazic debate.
Because it's not mentioned here. Because it's not clear here.
Right, because the Torah doesn't speak about that. By the way, it's interesting that the argument in halacha between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim is primarily in Hilchos Pesach. The halacha, the machleis between Beis Yosef and Ramah is in Hilchos Pesach. So therefore, there are people, Ashkenazim, that for the rest of the year, they are also lenient with glass. That you don't have to kash your glass. For Pesach, they're machmer. In our circles, we're machmer and glass the whole year. But just to explain, the glass story, because it's very practical by a lot of people. By glass is a machlekes between the Ashkenazi Pashim and the Sfardi Pashim, between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, and earlier yet. If glass absorbs, and if you could kashrut it. Right? Why does it become treif? Because the heat absorbs it. Like we learned in Hilchos Pesach, right? It absorbs it. There are opinions in Allah, and this is the Sfad, the Beis Yosef says, glass doesn't absorb. Glass doesn't absorb. If glass doesn't absorb, then what do you have to kash it for? It never absorbed treif. So it is, it's like, you wash it off, it's clean. You can use the same glass. It's from Mochik, some Fleishik, some Pesach. You can use the whole thing. The other opinion is the opposite extreme. Not only does it absorb, you can't kasher it.
It goes in, doesn't come.
It goes in and doesn't come out. Like kli cheres. Earthenware vessels, like we know, ceramic, porcelain, no, china, right? Why can't it kasher it? So kli cheres, the Gemara says, it goes in.
It's not coming out.
It never will come out completely. Meaning, when you kosher kli cheres, a little bit will come out. Not all of it. When you cash the metal, when you cash it, all the treif comes out. Through Hagala or Levo or them. Klicheres doesn't work. The only thing that works for Klicheres, the Gemara says, in Shchonach says, Herziru lekifshan. If you put it back, no. That's Petume. Herziru lekifshan means you put it back in the same oven that it was made in. It's called in English a kiln. How do they make china? They mold it, and then they put it into this 1100 degree oven. That's what it gets up to, 1100 degrees. And that's what hardens it. So the Gemara says, if you put kli cheres back, erziru lekifshon, so panim chadash is bo lukan. That's what the Gemara says. It's a new keli. It's a new beginning, and that's it. But with glass, I mean, obviously it would crack. I mean, you couldn't put glass into such a kifshon anyway. So the uniqueness is, the kalim that are kasherable, like metal, wood, these are all kalim that are kasherable.
Wood. Wood you cannot kosher.
I say. And what shulchanor do you learn?
Just learn shulchanor halach.
That's what it says.
First of all, glass is like keli cheres. It says.
He brings down both shittas. Baltrab brings on both sheets in the space.
Plastic, you cannot.
Yashem. Hello? Look at it again.
Plastic, you cannot do.
No. Okay. Not talking about synthetic. Synthetic is a different question. But wood, Shonar says, is a kashrable material. The only problem with wood, if something has grooves, you can't clean it out properly. Okay, a simple example. You have a cutting board. Yeah, you know what a cutting board is? A wooden cutting board. So you put hot meat down it, and tray for meat, let's say chametz, whatever, and you cut it, so it's...
But if you have a salad bowl...
1 minute!
There is no piece of wood that does not have...
1 second. What happens... Yeah, let me tell you a little secret. A lot of times you move into a new house, there's these big, thick... what do you call them?
Butcher blocks.
Thank you. Butcher blocks. Yeah? So what do people do? You can't cash it only for one reason, because of all the grooves. But if you sand it down, if you sand it down and get rid of the grooves, and then you cash it with Hagala, you can cash it wood. That's what says in Shulchan Aruch.
Oh, wow. I've never seen a piece of wood like that.
Yeah. No, the salad...
Not, if you have a wooden spoon doesn't necessarily have grooves in it.
If you put it in the water, it's going to absorb water.
So what? So then it spits it out through Hagala. What's the problem? It goes in, it goes out.
What about the salad bowl? It's smooth.
If it's a smooth salad bowl of wood, you can kash it in boiling hot water.
Sephardi and Ashkenazi, no maslokes?
God in Torah. I mean, you know what my opinion of God is. A white male Ashkenazi. But even according to the other opinions, yeah. So.
Is it blonde or is it?
No.
Ashkenazi.
Male. Blue eyes. No, but that's this. By the way, this is. You want to know the source of Kashri and Kalim? Is these few psukim over here. That's it. Then you go in, all the details. Is glass the third? Doesn't mention. What's the deal with glass? Then you have the synthetic stuff, like plastic or all these other synthetics today. So those are questions that, you know, is it like cheres? Is it not like cheres? Is it kashri, but not kashri? I mean, that goes into the whole. But here the Torah says anything that went through fire, after the Tavir Ba'esh. And if it doesn't go through fire, then you don't. I mean, here it goes into the whole thing. And then it's also another, Taviru B'mayim. That's the whole din of Tevilas Kelim. According to the source, because there's really a machlekes in Halacha, it's 9 o'clock. There's a machlekes in Halacha if Tevilas Kelim is Minatera or not. Okay, the Rebbe Paskins is Minatera, the Tazol, the Rabbanim, most Shittas in Halacha, say that Tevilas Kelim is Minatayr, and this is the source of a Taviru B'mayim.
Okay. Why do you say Mikveh just doesn't say Mayim?
When the Torah says V'rachas Pesorah B'mayim, it always means in the Torah the Mikveh. When the Torah says V'rachas Pesorah B'mayim, it doesn't mean take a shower. It means B'mayim, in the Mikveh. Okay, to be continued, Mitzvah Shem.